Allah, Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, welcome to another fantastic episode on the Silsila the Early Echo. Wherever you are in the world, whichever hemisphere, whatever season you are experiencing, whichever city you are in, we are hoping that you and your family are safe and sound. And don't forget, when you make dua for yourself and your family members and your community, then remember the ummah in your duas as well. Because certainly, in some part of the world, there are Muslims that are going through great trials and tribulations. Some are experiencing financial difficulties, some medical, some spiritual, and others are suffering at the hands of oppressors. Make dua for them. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that for the sake and the wasila of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah grant them shifa'i kulli. Allah remove their troubles, their difficulties, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them against oppressors. Ameen bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today we have yet another thought-provoking topic of discussion, which is necessary for every Muslim out there to know about the rulings of what? That is our topic of discussion. Briefly, we will cover this inshallah azawajal. Halal and haram are clear. Halal, that which is permitted in Islam. Haram, that which is forbidden in Islam. These matters are clear, have been clearly mentioned in the glorious Quran, in the blessed ahadith, in the rules of Islam as well. So stay tuned inshallah azawajal. We will cover this very briefly. Let's make some good intentions. We are here also to earn some thawab. Thawab is the currency of the akhirah. Let's make good intentions by remembering the beautiful hadith, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amalihi. The intention of a believer is better than his action. Let's make those good intentions. Oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I am watching, I am listening to the silsila of Madani Channel for your pleasure and happiness. For the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm here to seek knowledge of deen, what I learn. I will try to practice and convey this message to others as well. Inshallah Azza wa Jal. There are so many beautiful bounties, benefits, blessings for the fortunate Muslims who recite an abundance of durood paak, salawat, or salutations upon the cause of creation, the cream of creation, the owner of Jannah, the knower of the unseen, the intercessor of the Ummah, our most merciful master, the last Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, whoever recites salat upon me 100 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes between both of his eyes that this person is free from hypocrisy and free from the hellfire, and will keep him with the martyrs on the day of judgment. Who doesn't want these rewards, these benefits, these bounties? We all want it. Well, we have to put in effort. We have to work for it. That's what this dunya is about. This dunya is a farm where we need to plant the seeds of good deeds so that we harvest the blessings in the hereafter. So let's make our mindset that every day I must dedicate a portion of my time to recite the glorious Quran, to recite salawat and durood paak, to recite dhikrullah, istighfar, and seeking knowledge of deen from authentic sources. Insha'Allahu Azza wa Jal. We have a splendid kalam. Let's listen to it. Let's derive some inspiration as well And we'll be right back, inshallah azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
It is narrated from Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala an that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whosoever recites salat upon me once, Allah Almighty bestows 10 mercies upon him.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Aankhon ka tara naam e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam e Muhammad. Aankhon ka tara naam e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
The most beloved to me is the name of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Light of my dark heart is the name of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Poochega maula laya hai kya kya, poochega maula laya hai kya kya, main ye kahunga naam e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
When Allah will ask, what have you brought? I will then say, the name of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Daulat jo chaho dono jahan ki, daulat jo chaho dono jahan ki, kar lo wazifa naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
If you desire the wealth of both worlds, keep mentioning the name of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Rakho lahad mein jis dam aziz ho, rakho lahad mein jis dam aziz ho, mujhko sunana naam e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
O my dear ones, when you lay me to rest in my grave, do remember to mention the name of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Apne raza ke qurban jaao, murshid piya ke qurban jaao, jisne sikhaya naam-e Muhammad, dil ka ujala naam-e Muhammad.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad.
May I sacrifice my life for Raza, who taught the name of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah azza wa jal, what a beautiful kalam. These are the kinds of kalams that we need to listen to, instead of filling our ears with the filth and the evil of music. Rather, listen to the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the praises of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba ikram alayhim ridwan, the Ahlul Bayt Athar, the Awliya Allah. These things will further grow and develop that love in our hearts for them. That will benefit us, inshallah. Allahu Jalla Jalaluhu, take us for Hajj and Umrah time and again. Take us to visit Medina Sharif, Aqsa Sharif, time and again. Ameen. Bijahi Khatamin Nabiyeen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We are talking about halal and haram, which is clear. Islam provides us solutions for everything. I don't need to indulge in that which is forbidden. A person's greed, nafs, desires, societal pressures, influences from the outside may create that want where there's not a need anymore. It's a want. And the person doesn't look at how they are fulfilling their wants, because you're looking at others. On social media, so many of those people, they don't own those things. They have fake money. And they show you bundles and bundles of notes, hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands. In the meantime, it's fake money. It's stage money. They show you that they are on a beautiful yacht. They show you that, okay, you know, I mean, this country today, people are photoshopping. People are using AI. They are using all types of applications in order to portray themselves that they are in a certain place and they own a certain vehicle, or they have so much of wealth and they're enjoying their life and they're living the good life. When in so many cases, it's just a lie. They live a lie to feed their ego, to gain those subscriptions, to gain those followers, and to monetize their channels. Greed, that is what it is end of the day. Greed for money, for wealth, for fame. And that doesn't stop. You just keep chasing it until the angel of death stares them in the face. And we look at that, and the person says, I need to, you know, do something so I can live a lifestyle like that. And the person, many a times, will end up doing wrong things, will end up using their time to earn haram, forbidden things, quick money, so that they can buy that car that they want. They can live in that area, that suburb, that lush, plush, green suburb, so that they can buy the mansion and bungalow. They can live that life. And that pushes them towards arrogance and pride as well. It opens up other sinful activities. But look at those that live a pure life, earning only that which is pure and halal and tayyib. Only this is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever is halal and tayyib, whatever is permitted and pure. Our elders, our seniors, our pious predecessors, many of them were great scholars. But they were traders as well. They were business individuals as well. But they maintained those Shari'i principles, those Islamic principles, rules and regulations of only earning that which is halal and tayyib. Look at the great Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, Nu'man bin Thabit rahmatullah ta'ala alayh, the leader of tens of millions of Ahnaf around the world. You all know. What a great scholar he was. What a great intellectual he was. You won't find anybody, even today, even the most so-called intelligent of people today, can never match with the intelligence of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah ta'ala. And you just have to do a cursory study. Don't take my word for it. Read his books. Read his discussions. You'll get to know the person. Subhanallah. So he was a trader. Sayyiduna Hafs bin Abdul Rahman rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, he said, I would participate in trade with Sayyiduna Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi. He would buy consignments of goods, of cloth from Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. and sell it to the public. He would buy in wholesale and he would retail to the public. So once he says, Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi sent me some goods, because Imam Azam was a cloth merchant. Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi once informed me, O Hafs, that such and such cloth has some defect in it. You must tell the buyer, the customer, when you're selling it. Sayyiduna Hafs rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he sold the goods, but he had forgotten to inform the customers of the defect. When Imam Azam rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi came to know about this, what did he do? The entire value of that stock that he had sent, which had the defects, the entire value and amount of that, he took out from his own savings, from his own pocket, and he gave it as sadaqah, as charity. Look how meticulous they were. Look how precise they were. How careful. What precautions they would take. Just to make sure that, you know what, I must only earn halal, that's it. There is no negotiations when it comes to this. I don't even want an ounce of haram to be mixed with my halal. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. O lovers of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, this parable, should we not learn a lesson from it? For those who are in the field of business in particular, not only, even those who are employees, how are we earning our wealth? Does a person say that, you know, bribery and corruption is entrenched in our department? It is entrenched as a business practice. Although it is illegal according to the law of the land, but it's happening, everybody is doing it, even the people on the top are doing it as well. And if I don't do it, then I'm going to lose out. You're going to lose out what? What are you going to lose out? What? You're just going to pile sins on your head. If others are doing wrong, if others are running to the, if everybody else is running to the edge of the cliff and jumping off, will you do the same? If many or most Muslims are not performing their salah or performing their salah incorrectly, will you do the same as well? Because most of the people are doing it? No. What is right is right and what is wrong is wrong. You just keep your focus on the akhirah. Keep your focus on the day of judgment when I'm going to be accountable for this. If I am involved in bribery and corruption, those other people, even if everybody is doing it, they're going to be held accountable. They are going to receive punishment. So with this mentality, everybody is doing it, so let me do it also. They are cashing in. Let me cash in also. So they are cashing in to actually get punishment. And if you're part and parcel of them, you're going to get the punishment as well. What excuse are you going to make? Everybody else was doing the wrong, so I also did the wrong. That's not a believer. That's not a Muslim. A Muslim is very careful in this regard of abstaining from any type of haram activity or earning from haram sources, and only focuses on earning that which is halal, and that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in there lies barakah and blessings. Blessings, that's what we're looking for. You think you're going to get the blessings by doing haram activities and earning from haram sources? How is it possible? The proof of Islam, Hujjatul Islam, Sayyiduna Imam al-Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala ali has quoted the saying of a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He mentions this in the second volume of Ihya'ul Ulum. When a Muslim eats the first morsel of his halal food, his previous sins are forgiven. And the person who goes to a place of humiliation in search of halal sustenance, his sins fall like the leaves of a tree. You tell me, don't we want this as opposed to earning haram because it's a quick buck, easy money? But look what's the consequence. Look at the result. The result of earning haram, of doing haram, engaging in haram activity, is the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the pleasure of shaitan and our desires. And the consequence is punishment, is jahannam. But even if you struggle, you work hard, you work smart, you put in efforts to only earn halal and to engage in halal activities, then the result is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the displeasure of shaitan and the desires, the nafsul ammara. And the reward is paradise through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a mindset thing. I need to realize, I need to understand that as a Muslim is one who submits to the will of Allah. That is it. By obeying Him and obeying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu has stated in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 88. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وكلوا مما رزقكم الله حلالا طيبا حلالا طيبا واتقوا الله الذي أنتم به مؤمنون. Translation from Tanzim Iman. Eat from the sustenance which Allah has given to you, the lawful and the pure. And fear Allah in whom you believe. Fear Allah. Allah is telling us so clearly what sustenance we need to eat. Whatever is permitted, whatever is halal and tayyiba, the lawful and the pure. Furthermore, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is ordering us, is advising us in the glorious Quran. Translation from Kanzul Iman, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 168. O mankind, eat from what is lawful and pure in the earth, and do not follow the footsteps of the devil. Undoubtedly, he is your open enemy. That's what Shaitan wants. He wants to put us into difficulties by influencing us like the influencers out there, many of whom on social media, they influence a person just for the greed of wealth under the pretext of becoming financially free, of not being a slave as an employee. But it's about greed. It's about amassing and hoarding so the person is regarded as the world's richest man or the world's richest woman with hundreds of billions in their account in the form of properties, investments. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And yet still, how about we focus on sustainable development? We are in the modern world, where there are technological advancements and sophistications that we cannot believe. And still people are starving. And still people are jobless. And still people don't have sukoon and tranquility. Maybe a selected few may have all the conveniences and amenities and facilities. But largely, people are struggling. There's a financial crisis. People can't pay off their home loans. People are drowning in debts. So many are begging on the streets. So many are sleeping on the streets. Wars are raging on in this advanced world. And the so-called civilized nations are part and parcel of these destructions because of the israf, the mass wastage of resources. We see it. We hear about it on social media. How there's so much of wastage of food. And people are digging in the bins to look for food. Mass wastage. Who can eat more in this certain duration of time? Subhanallah. Filling their bellies up. You think a starving person, if they see that, they will say, you know what, if I just had one small piece of those 20 pieces that you're stuffing your mouth with. That's what we've become. Just for entertainment purposes, just for followers, just to become famous or rich. The resources are being wasted en masse. In Tafsir Siratul Jinan, it is mentioned that halal and pure means that whatever the thing is halal itself. Example, goat meat, vegetables, lentils, etc. And it is obtained from lawful means. It must not be obtained by stealing it. If I know that this meat, the meat of a sheep or goat, vegetables and fruits, whatever it is, this is halal by in itself. That's one aspect. But if I robbed a person, if I stole that meat, if I stole those vegetables and those fruits or those edible items, if I stole it, still there's a problem. Stealing, and then that's haram, that's forbidden, a major sin, then consuming that as well. I want you to think about something very carefully, especially parents out there, especially fathers, dads out there. Is the father is the one upon whom the financial burden to run the house is upon his shoulders. The father is the leader, is the captain of the ship, the driver of the vehicle. Father is the shepherd of the flock. And normally it's a father that goes out to work, earn a halal income so that he can pay for the expenses, the water bills, the light bills, the rent, the rates, or whatever other expenses are there. And the food, of course, the grocery items. If that father, or maybe the mother as well, maybe both are working and contributing financially, perhaps, is earning from haram sources. And maybe the family doesn't know. Maybe the wife doesn't know. But the father is maybe a drug dealer. Maybe has got contacts with thieves and robbers and gets certain items cheaply. And to sell them cheaply, very quickly, quick money. And that same money, or is indulged in bribery and corruption. And that same money that the person is getting is buying grocery items with that, buying foodstuffs with that, and nourishing the bodies of their children. So if those children become rebellious and start abusing the parents, insulting the parents, who is to blame for that? If you're nourishing their bodies, their minds with haram, then there's going to be consequences. There's going to be consequences. This I need to understand. I need to realize that it's going to affect me sooner or later. How long am I going to escape? I will see the effects, the negative effects of this in this world. And the person won't see those blessings, won't have that sukoon and tranquility and peace, peace of mind, contentment of heart. That's not going to be there. And the person may even be looking over their shoulders. I hope I don't get caught out. I hope the people that I'm buying from, the thieves and robbers, the items that they have stolen, they don't get caught and rat me out and snitch and tell the cops that, you know what, I'm one of the customers buying the stolen items. Keep it above board. Protect yourself. Protect yourself and keep everything above board. And you don't have to look left and right and is anybody following me or is anybody trailing me. You know, keep it above board. Keep it halal. Keep it tayyib. Keep it pure. Do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You don't have to look this side and that side. And you'll find that barakah, that those blessings. A brother told me, a businessman, that his father, many years ago, had given him a piece of advice that if you steal somebody else's loaf of bread and you eat that, you're not going to get full. You're not going to be content and satiated. But if you earn your own bread from halal sources, you earn your own bread, and even if you eat one slice, you will be content. Something to think about. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Godless Quran, Surah Al-Haqqah, verse 24. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Kulu washrabu hani'an bima aslaftum. بما أسلفتم في الأيام الخالية. Translation from Tanzim Iman. Eat and drink with pleasure. The reward of what you sent ahead in the past days. Subhanallah. We have so many options available. Look at the fruits that we have available. Look at the vegetables that we have available. Look at the meat products that we have available. So many different types of meat products. Fish is there, chicken is there, mutton is there, subhanallah. And countless numbers of lentils, vegetables, fruits. So many items are available that is pure, that is halal. Why would a Muslim opt and choose that which is haram? It makes you think, like, you know, where's the sense in that? Where's the intelligence in that person? Stick, you know, keep everything above board. Options are countless. They have been provided. It's not like, you know what, you're only allowed to eat these two items in the meat category, and these three items in the fruit category, and those four items in the vegetable category, and these five items in the lentils category, or only these types of breads. So many options are there. Come on, let's think about it. And you eat the halal, you earn from halal, that itself is thawab. You're going out to earn halal, that is thawab as well. If a person is going out to earn haram, I can't find a job. I've tried, I put my CVs everywhere. Nothing is working out. I go for the interview, they don't call me back. Well, something you are doing incorrectly. Because every person's risk, sustenance is fixed, is promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the scholars have mentioned that what is due to you, you and I, what is due to you will reach you. Even if it is on the other side of the world, if it is due to you, if it's written for you, it's going to make its way and it's going to reach you. And what is not written for you, even if it can be right in front of your face, you will never get a hold of it. Somehow, it will always evade you. Subhanallah. If a person opens his shop for 10 hours, but is meant to get 1,000 only, that is what he is going to get. And if a person opens his shop for 1 hour, and if he's meant to get 10,000, that's what he will get. So your portion is there. Let's say, for example, 1,000 is written, you're going to earn this for this month or for this week, whatever be the case. Now, which part do I choose? We have limited free will, no? So which part do I choose? I don't know how much I'm going to earn, but hypothetically, let's say 1,000 is written for you. For this week, you're going to earn. Now, I will choose to earn it the halal way, I'll get 1,000. Or if I choose to earn from haram sources, I'll get the 1,000. On one side, I earned the halal way, I got the 1,000, and I got thawab also. I attained the pleasure of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. On the other side, same 1,000 only I got, whether it was fixed for me. But I got it from haram sources and means. I earned the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I earned punishment for it. Let's keep these things in our mind. By doing that, it will motivate us to earn only that which is halal. Even using these two hands of ours, doing the work yourself. Even if a person is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they has blessed them with an abundance of wealth, so long as it is halal. Halal, and there's no, that wealth must not put the person on a pedestal where they feel they are superior and others are inferior. It must not bring about the spiritual diseases of takabbur, pride and arrogance, of ostentation, riya, showing off. And he should not indulge in wastage, israf, extravagance. You should take a portion out to help those who are less fortunate, starting with your family members. There's a double reward there. If you give sadaqah to your family members, because for giving sadaqah one reward, and for cementing familial relationships, for bringing together and strengthening family bonds, that's another reward. We have a short video clip. Let's listen, let's learn more, inshallah, and we'll be right back, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Respected Yusuf Madani Sharon, although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted knowledge to Sayyidina Adam ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam, and that knowledge was vast and great, immense knowledge was granted to him. He knew the asma of the things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created. But yet, the knowledge which was granted to Sayyidina Adam ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam is only a drop in comparison to the ocean of the knowledge possessed by our Holy Prophet, the final messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. As Imam Bawsiri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi writes in his qasida Al-Hamziyah, لَكَ ذَاتُ الْعُلُومِ مِنْ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَمِنْهَا لِآدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءِ. This means that the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was granted the essence of knowledge from the knower of the unseen, the merciful Lord Azza wa Jal. The knowledge of all things that Prophet Adam alayhi salam received is just one part of the knowledge that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has. Allama Ahmad As-Sawi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi has stated in Tafsir As-Sawi, the knowledge of the Prophet Adam alayhi salam is derived from the knowledge of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was granted the essence of all sciences. In fact, he was given the essence of all perfections. Prophet Adam alayhi salam humbled the angels through his knowledge, which was only one part of the knowledge of Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whereas the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam humbled all of creation through his knowledge, and this is the truth. Subhanallah. Sabse awla wa ala hamara nabi. Sabse bala wa ala hamara nabi. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The great waliullah, the great scholar and ascetic, Sayyidina Khwaja Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi ta'ala, he found himself needing to get a job. He was the king, and he left it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why we remember him today, hundreds of years later, maybe 1,000 years over later, because he remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept his memory and his remembrance evergreen and ever fresh as well. He was looking for a job to earn halal. He was passing by this place, and the place was called Tarsus. He came to know that there was a farmer looking for to hire somebody. And so he approached the farmer and told the farmer his need, that I heard you looking to hire somebody to look after your orchard. your fruit orchard, your grape vines? The farmer said, yes. Are you available? He said, yes, because he was looking very pious and trustworthy. So the farmer hired him. After some time, the farmer brings some friends to enjoy the grapes. So he calls Ibrahim bin Adham, and he didn't know this is Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi. He calls him, says, please get some bunches of grapes for myself and my friends to enjoy. He brings a bunch of grapes. The farmer takes one bite of one grape and spits it out. He says, this is so sour. What is wrong with you? Couldn't you bring us the sweet ones? Khawaja Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi replies, you appointed me to look after this farm, but you did not give me permission to taste any of the grapes. Allah. The farmer was amazed. His friends were amazed. The farmer said, this person looks like a very, very pious person. Subhanallah. Khawaja Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi then took leave and said, I got back to my work and the owner left the garden. Subhanallah. Only earn that which is halal. Only consume that which is halal. If we truly want blessings in our lives, in our homes, in our families, in our offspring as well, then inshallah azza wa jalla, through the mercy of Allah jalla jalaluhu, we will witness, we will experience, we will see those blessings, as opposed to earning that which is forbidden. And that will remove the barakat, that will remove the blessings from our lives and from our homes as well. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allah, Allah, start your day with remembrance of Allah. Start your day with remembrance of Allah.